This is not my typical that I like to preach. I'd rather preach 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's more geared for Easter, the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But 1 Corinthians 14, Paul deals one last time with an issue, with the issues that are going on. Now, they had a problem with the resurrection, and that's why he dealt with that in chapter 15. But in chapter 14, it's the misuse of gifts. Chapter 12, he gave us the gifts and showed us the gifts. Chapter 13, they have to be based upon love. Love has to be the key, because without love, the gifts are nothing. You read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. You can give your body to be burned, but if you don't have love, it profiteth you nothing. All those gifts without love is nothing, because love is something that will be with us for all eternity. So he stressed the importance of having love with those gifts. But now in chapter 14, he covers some problems and gets down to the nitty-gritty. And again, this isn't the battle we have at Faith Baptist Church. Matter of fact, I don't think these are the battles today that we have in this area. And so I pondered, is it really necessary to teach these principles? But then the more I prayed about it, the Holy Spirit just showed me that the more I studied it, the more I enjoyed it. And all of a sudden, it came in. I'm trying to cut it down to three sermons, but I've got four sermons out of chapter 14 because it's just rich. And so this isn't going to necessarily apply to you, most of you. But it's something that you need to understand that was taking place in the Corinthian church, because it could happen today. And Paul begins to describe the abuse. And really in chapter 14, he uses two of the gifts that were being abused, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy or prophets. Those were the two that were being abused, because those were upfront gifts. Those were the gifts that the Corinthians wanted. Now again, Paul addressed this issue about tongues. Now I believe tongues was a gift. But I call it the gift of languages, because that's what I believe it was. And you may disagree with me, and that's fine. But if you go back into the New Testament, when you find the gifts being administered, you go back to Acts chapter 2, when the disciples came out, they were filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, they went out and preached, and every man heard them speak in what? His own language. And they were just utterly amazed. That's the gift, I believe, of tongues. That's the gift of languages. It was, they could speak a language that they really didn't know, but the language could be understood. And they understood, there was an interpreter, they interpreted it because the language could be understood. And I think that gift of languages was used throughout the New Testament, because as I told you before, the disciples weren't well trained. They weren't in college. They weren't trained in languages. They spoke whatever language was there. They were fishermen out in the fisher boat. Now, maybe they heard some people come in as they sold their fish and different things like this. But they didn't know many different languages, probably. These were fishermen. They weren't trained. They didn't have a high school education, a college degree. And so God gave them the gift of languages to communicate that language, so more than just Palestine or more than just Judea could get the gospel. And so you can see where the gift of languages for that day was very, very, I think, important. And it was a gift that could be used of God to give the gospel. So I think it's a very, very, it was a very good gift. But if you were with us in chapter 13, Paul says tongues will cease. Because of the printing, because of the Bible in so many different languages, he said, no longer are we going to, that's one gift that will cease. The other gifts were going to be set aside, like prophecy, foretelling when the Word of God came, and knowledge when the Word of God came. You didn't need all that. But they were going to be set aside until again, during the tribulation and the millennial period, the kingdom age, they're going to come back. Those gifts are going to come back. So he just set them aside, but he said the tongues will cease. Why? Because they're no longer necessary. They had a purpose. And so that's why I don't think gifts are for today. The gift of tongues is for today. I don't think there's a purpose for the gift of tongues because of the Bible written in so many different languages. Listen, if you go to that Bible is what it's called, or there's an app. And if you go on it, you can get the Bible interpreted in 1,800 different languages. So on my phone, I could pick a language, and that's, I'm sure that's what some of our missionaries are using, because it would be a wonderful app to play the Bible, if they couldn't speak it, to play the Bible in the language of the people. It's a wonderful idea. So I don't believe we need the gift. That's why Paul says when the apostolic age was done, when the apostles were done, the church was going to be established and tongues will cease. But now we're still in the apostolic age at Corinth. We're not today. That's why I don't think tongues is for today. I think it's done like the Corinthians did it, and it was misused and abused. But now I think the gift of tongues was in Corinth somewhat when it was done properly as a language. But as a whole, the people abused this gift because it was the upfront gift. It was a gift that excited them, and I'll show you why in just a minute. So Paul addresses this issue because tongues had become a problem. The gift of languages had been a problem in the Corinthian church, and here's why. The people began to practice counterfeit tongues. In other words, they were not speaking an existing foreign language, but they were behaving like the pagans that worshiped their idols, for all the other idol worship was taking place in Corinth. See, the worship of pagan idols in Greek and Roman religions, it consisted of a frenzied, ecstatic utterances. Worshippers would dance and drink themselves into an uncontrolled condition with no moral or conscious restraints, and many times resulting in perversion and many sexual orgies as well. All the restraints were moved from these pagan seances, so to speak. They believed this condition brought them closer to their gods, little g, because their spirit left their body to commune with their gods. And so the babblings and the exciting speech was believed by them to be a supernatural language of their God. So the believers, now stay with me. That's what these Corinthians were used to. That's what they saw, that's what they would call the speaking in tongues. And so when the gift of languages came in, they interpreted it to be that's what the gift is, and they brought those pagan ideals into the church. And again, we don't see, I don't see that necessarily that one, but that's what's happening, I think, a little bit in our churches today. We're bringing a lot of things out in the world and bringing it into the church because that's what we enjoy. That's what excites us. That's where my heart is. And so we bring it into the church, and that's why there's so much that has changed within the church even today. And honestly, I'm just going to be honest with you, we've become worldly because we're bringing the world into our church. That's not what God, that's what the Corinthians were doing. And so they were practicing tongues, but they loved it because it was self-satisfying. Listen, I had some kids that came. I reached them from a Pentecostal church, and they came on Wednesday night to my service. They wouldn't come on Sunday because our church service was boring. All you did was you sang songs, read the scripture, and the pastor preached. Boring. But I ran a little bit of different type program on Wednesday night for the teenagers. And so they would come on Wednesday night, but I was with them. That's the only time I've ever been with people who spoke in tongues. And I watched how they did it. And they were just out of this world. They were excited. They were thrilled, but it blessed them. But I'm telling you, that's not what the gifts are for. The gifts aren't to bless you. The gifts are to edify the church and to edify others. God has given you the gifts to be a blessing to somebody else. But they made this gift. They loved the gift of tongues because it gave them an emotional high. And it does happen, folks. I think it comes straight from the pit of hell. I think it's Satan-induced. But it does. It gives a high. The babbling and the talking, and they down on the ground and they're bouncing around, and when they're done, it's just like that was so amazing, so awesome. But you know what? I was there. It didn't benefit me a thing. See, that's why I know it's not a gift. Because gifts are to edify the church. Gifts are to edify one another. Gifts are there for you to build somebody else up, not yourself. So the believers in Corinth began to copy these pagan practices in the babbling speech, claiming it was a heavenly language they were hearing from God. The service were turning into an emotional frenzy characterized by absolute chaos and confusion during the service. It was not a time of building up one another, but it was a time of bedlam. And that's why Paul said, you have somebody from the outside coming in, they're going to think you're absolutely nuts. They're not going to get anything out of it because it's not for them. It's for you. That's why it's not a gift. There was no worship or edification that was taking place. It was all for self-satisfaction. And we can be sure that most of the tongue speaking was counterfeit. Now, again, some of it could have been. There could have been somebody that God gave the ability to speak in a language to promote the gospel to somebody who couldn't understand, but they could understand what was being said. So I think the gift of languages or the gift of tongues was speaking a known language to somebody, and you speak it in a way that you didn't know you could speak it, but somebody can understand it. That's why there was always had to been an interpreter there or somebody that understood the message. Because if you didn't have an interpreter or somebody understand the message, then it's not a gift. It was just flat out not a gift. So I think some tongues was good, or languages, the gift was there. But so many brought it in the pagan practices and influenced the church that it became out of control. And that's why Paul felt he had to deal with it. And I thought about this. As you've seen the problems in this Corinthian church since chapter 7, but how could a congregation that's so worldly, so opinionated, so selfish, cliquish, envious, jealous, divisive, argumentative, arrogant, disorderly, defrauding, inconsiderate, gluttonous, and immoral exercise the true gifts of the Spirit? It's true. That's why Paul said, yeah, what you're doing? Oh, you desire the gifts. And I appreciate that. But you desire the ones that are seen up front. You desire the ones that build the ecstasy in you, the emotional high in you. You want to be seen of men. That's why you love the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. You love the gift of knowledge, because that puts you, the gift of prophecy, that puts you on a pedestal. But Paul said, no. No, it's wrong what you're doing. Because it goes along with this. They violated every biblical principle of spirituality. And the idea is you cannot walk in the Spirit while exercising in the flesh. Listen, I've watched so many people. And it happens, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but they're very carnal, and I know they're carnal. They're carnal in their lifestyle. They're carnal in the places they go. But they do something spiritual. They give money to somebody. They help out at a church, or they show up and at a work day, and they do something. And they think that is just, man, I am spiritual. Well, how are you spiritual? Works don't make you spiritual. Walking with God does. Being obedient to God does. And how can you be so disobedient to God and think you're spiritual just because you did a spiritual work, or you did something nice for somebody, or you gave to a charity, or you work on a committee? That doesn't make you right with God. You need to walk with God. You need to obey God. You need to be righteous and holy and godly and walk with Him. But we justify it. I'm trying to show you where the Corinthian church was. So that's where chapter 14 comes. That's by way of introduction. In verse 1, he says, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Paul tells the Corinthian church to follow after love. There we go, back to 1 Corinthians 13. If you're not doing it in love, it's going to profit you nothing. It's not going to be beneficial. It's not, in light of eternity, it's not going to make the impact. Oh, you may do something nice for somebody, and I understand it, but it's not going to make the impact you want it to make. It's got to be done in love. Because without love, it is nothing. 1 Corinthians 13. Love will be with us for all eternity. When time ends and eternity begins, love goes with us. And so it needs to be done in love. And so he said, follow after love, folks. The word follow is an intense word. If you look at it in the Greek, it comes from the word diako, which means to run after or chase after something in order to catch it. I mean, it's not just chasing it away. It's to chase after it, to catch it, to get a hold of it. To eagerly search for something. See, lovelessness was by far the greatest problem in the Corinthian church, to which all other problems related one to another. Brother Steve said this in our Bible study yesterday. He said, here's the key. You need to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as yourself. If you can do that, everything else falls into place. And you know what? He's right. He's right. But if you don't love the Lord thy God, if love isn't the forefront, it's not going to fall into place. And that's where the Corinthian church was. Oh, they wanted the gift. That's why it says, and ye, you could say, ye desire spiritual gifts. They wanted to do the gifts. But Paul said, you need to follow after love. You need to do it in love. You need to grasp hold of this thing of love, the love of God, the walking in the Spirit. Having the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And as a result of love, I think you get all those other fruits that go along with it. But if you don't get the love part, you're not going to get the other parts of the fruit. It begins with love. The strong affection that many of them had was for themselves. Selfishness squelches love. So Paul said, stop. Stop pursuing yourself. Pursue love. Love is the great motivator of good works and the great motivator of every spiritual ministry. And it's the proper use of every spiritual gift. The strong desire the Corinthians had for the gifts, that wasn't wrong. That's why he says, ye desire spiritual gifts. He said, that's not the problem. I love it that you desire the spiritual gifts. I love it that you want the spiritual gifts, but you're desiring them. You're going after the wrong ones because of what they can benefit you. How you can be put on a pedestal, how you can be put in front of the church, how you can be the one that's so wise and so smart that you can have that self-glorification, that exaltation within yourself. He said, you're going after all the gifts in a wrong way. I'm glad you desire the gifts, but you're missing the boat because you're not doing it in love. And I think that's true. I think there's people in our church today that desire to have the gift of God, the gifts, but you miss the point of love. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That means you'll walk with God. That means you'll be faithful to God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's what God asks from us. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. When you get that down, folks, everything else falls into place. So he said, you need to follow after love. I mean, grab hold of it, seek after it, chase it till you grab hold of it, because that's the key. But he said, I'm glad you desire spiritual gifts, but here's the bottom line. This is Paul. This shows you Paul. He said, you go after the showy and attention getting gifts. But Paul tells them, pursue prophecy. Pursue prophecy. Now, when he's talking about the gift of prophecy, he's not talking about foretelling, the future. Now, some of the foretelling was because we didn't have the scripture. We didn't have all the scripture. So I think there were still prophets of that day that did the foretelling. God would give them a message that wasn't written down. It had to come sometime from the apostles especially, and most of the New Testament is written by the apostles. So the foretelling had to take place in that day. But when that which is perfect has come, when we get to heaven, we won't need any more. But when we got the scriptures, some of those things were set aside until they're needed during the tribulation and the kingdom age period. But he said, if you're gonna go after any gift, go after prophecy. And prophecy is simply the telling of the word of God. You know what? You don't have to be a preacher to share with people the truth from the Bible. And try to show them the wonderful truths. Man, I love it when somebody comes up to me and say, Pastor, I read in my Bible this week or today, and I read it in my Bible, and this is what this is an exciting truth to me. Wow. Thank you for sharing. Man, that's the gift of prophecy. But it's also giving the gospel out to a lost and dying world. I mean, honestly, it's tough. It's tougher in Fremont. And I'm telling you that. I lived in the Detroit area for almost 25 years. It was much easier to present the gospel in Warren and Sterling Heights and Clinton Township, all those areas that I passed out. We've well over a half a million tracts. It was so much easier. Fremont's the hardest place I have ever had in all my dealings to give out the gospel. Maybe it's because people, the answer I get at somebody when I talk to them, I'm good. I'm good. Well, what does that mean? They won't let me pursue it. Man, I want to know, are you born again? Are you born again? That's a typical answer. When you hear somebody say, I've been born again, they usually get it. They usually have got it. Boy, when I hear somebody tell me, well, yeah, I've been born again, man, a smile goes on my face. But when they say, I'm good, well, what does that mean, I'm good? Do you think you're good? Do you think you're taken care of because you grew up in maybe a Christian home, or you go to church every once in a while? That makes you good? Folks, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But let me ask you a question. Have you even tried to share? That's what Paul's saying. You Corinthians want the good gifts. You want the showy gifts. You want the ones that bring satisfaction to yourself and people say, whoa, you're wonderful. But if you're going to pursue a gift, he said, I would pursue prophecy. Just simply sharing the word of God. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died, buried, and rose again. Maybe it's a truth you saw in the scriptures. That's why I enjoy working with Gary, not because he knows 100 times more than I know. And he's fun to work with, and he gets the job done. But you know what? Almost every time we work together, he has, man, I read this in scripture. Pastor, I found this in the scripture this week. Pastor, that's the gift of prophecy. It's just sharing with somebody. And you know what that does? That builds me up. That helps me out. Boy, that's a wonderful truth. That's what the gift of prophecy is. It's sharing God's word. Not new. Nothing's new. You've got it all right here from Genesis to Revelation. But when is the last time you shared with somebody? You shared the truth that God laid on your heart. You found something in the scripture. When's the last time you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody? That's what Paul's saying. He said, you want the gift of tongues because it's emotional and it's counterfeit. You've wrecked it. But that's why you want it. Or you want the gift of prophets to foretell, or knowledge, or the miracles and healings. And you want all the showy gifts. But he said, if you really want to pursue a gift, the gift of prophecy, he said, that ye may prophesy. That's what you need to pursue. You see, in verses 2-5, and I got to hurry, the gift of tongues, the type of tongues that the Corinthians practiced, had no edifying value at all, for they could not speak to men. It could not be a message to men. It was a message to themselves, where they communicated with God. It was a language for the gods. But you show me that in the Bible. Whenever Jesus prayed, He simply just prayed to God and talked to God in whatever language they talked in that day. Jesus didn't use a babbling. He didn't use a special language. He told the men how to pray. When you pray to your Heavenly Father, pray like this. It wasn't a special language, a special utterance. It could not give, the tongues that they were having could not give any instruction or exhortation. That's why Paul gets a little negative here. He said it could only speak to God, but a better translation in the Greek would be to a God, not the God. Because when it's in reference to theos, the God, the one and only God, there's always the article, the God. But if you look this up, it's not theos, a God, or a God, or the God. It's you're speaking to gods. And we all know there's only one true God. There is only one true God. Satan is not a God. Now, we call him the God of the world. The Bible even calls him that. So he's more than you and I are. But he was still created by God. These idols and the thing gods they worshiped, they weren't gods. They had hands, but they could not feel. They had eyes, but they could not see. They had mouth, but they could not speak. They couldn't do miracles. No, I think Satan used those idols through his demons to do some pretty miraculous things. And you know when you're really going to see it is during the tribulation period. I think Satan's going to project himself as a God. But I got news for you, folks. Satan is not he may be a God, but not the God. There's only one God, and that's the God that we serve in heaven. So personally speaking in an unknown language is where there's uttering sounds that no one understands. They're not speaking or communicating with others because they can't understand them. So why what you are saying is a mystery because it's not understood. That's what Paul's trying to say in verses 2 through 5. He is speaking to himself or his own spirit, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says he speaks in a language unknown to men, not human or not understandable. It's a fabricated language that they were using, not a proper language at all. On the other hand, Paul says, but those who preach or prophesy, if you'll share the good news of Jesus Christ, you clearly speak to men for their benefit. They strengthen and encourage and comfort others. Preaching builds up people. You see, the use of languages that cannot be understood has no benefit at all. It does not make any sense for a Christian in a church service to babble a bunch of sounds in the name of praise and worship when no one understands what they're saying. And when we look through the Bible, I'll repeat it again, we find no record of any believer speaking to the Lord in anything but a known, intelligible language. When we look at Jesus, we find no record of him speaking in tongues at all, but he just spoke in a language. In fact, it was the Lord himself that warned against it. He warned against praying with vain repetitions. In Matthew 6:7, he says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard of their gods for their much speaking. But if you look at that word, the vain repetitions, that included indiscernible gibberish of heathen tongues, which would be characterized by meaningless sounds that were repeated and uttered. And that's how, if you've never been around it before, that's how they started. They take a phrase and they begin to repeat it over and over and over again, and that gets them in the spirit. And once they repeat it over and over, and it is quite, it's shocking when it happens, folks. It's weird to me when it happens. I've only been around it once, but I saw it with my own eyes. And you say, what is that? Well, when they came out, they were speaking the language of the gods. Well, that's not what the gift of tongues is. That's not what the gift of languages was. I think that's the devil, Satan, using counterfeit tongues to keep people from really God's purpose for life. So Paul says, why go after tongues? They're going to cease. They're going to be done. So why not go after prophecy? And again, if you think about it, if speaking in a heavenly tongue was a real language taught and inspired by the Holy Spirit, then anyone who possessed the gift of tongues would be able to understand one another without the service of an interpreter. You don't need an interpreter. If tongues gives you the gift of the gods, the languages, then anybody who could speak in tongues would understand the gibberish that's going on and know exactly what you're saying. Exactly. But it's not a language. There isn't a language of the gods. It's not that case at all, because such a divine language does not exist. The purpose of prophecy is to build up for edification, to encourage exhortation. Spiritual gifts are meant to accomplish something spiritually and practically worthwhile that are always meant to benefit others. Again, the purpose for gifts, and I'm going to repeat this, Paul does. The purpose for the gifts is certainly not to selfishly minister to ourselves, as some of the Corinthian believers thought they were doing by speaking in tongues. But on the other hand, one who speaks in tongues only edifies himself. That's why. So why did Paul say this? If you follow down here, and I don't have time to pick it verse by verse, because if I did that, we'd be here longer than we are in 1 Corinthians 14. But Paul said he said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. That's always confused me. Paul said, now he's criticizing tongues. He's trying to set it straight that what you're doing is counterfeit tongues. But then he uses the phrase in verses 2 through 5, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. But simply, Paul was simply making it clear that he didn't despise the, you know, he wished they all did speak in tongues, real tongues. All of you did share with people in languages you couldn't understand, because that means the gospel's, that's what Paul's saying. I wish you all did speak in tongues. Not counterfeit tongues, but the gift of languages. Because that would mean the gospel's going forth to people who really can't understand it. That good news is going forth. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ is going forth. The principles from God's word is going forth. He said, I wish that you all did speak in tongues. So Paul isn't denying that tongues was there. But the genuine gift of the Holy Spirit can take that miraculous language and preach a message to somebody. So Paul did not deny that the gift of tongue existed in the early church, and it had a definite reason for existing, but this was not a command. He's saying, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But he was showing them that he did not hate the gift. He wasn't against the gift that would be able to share the gospel in a different language. But what Paul desired is that they would preach and speak the word of God in an understandable language. If you do it in an understandable language and you present Christ, you present the good news, you present the truths of the word of God, he says that is wonderful, wonderful. Even a believer with a genuine gift of tongues was never to exercise it unless he interprets. So he wasn't going to speak unless there was somebody that could understand the language that he was using. And if there was nobody to understand the language, then he wasn't going to be able to speak it. That's the true gift of tongues. Either the tongue speaker himself or another person was always to interpret it so that the church and others could receive edification. Any private self-building expression could not be the genuine gift of tongues. Because the purpose of tongues is only realized when it's exercised and interpreted publicly so that the whole congregation can be edified. So, honestly, what Paul's saying is that prophecy's the key. So, you go after tongues. Number one, it's going to cease. It's going to be done with the apostolic age because it's no longer going to be needed. Paul knew that. And it's no good unless there's an interpretation. And what you're doing here is no good. But, catch this. But if you would just use the gift of prophecy, Share the good news in a language that people, that they can understand, the wonderful things that God's doing in your life, the wonderful things that God is accomplishing. Share the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, I think so many churches, and I'll close with this, so many churches today, I believe this with my whole heart, have drifted away from Bible preaching because they don't believe it'll pack the pews. That's what the Corinthians, I'm trying to show you what the Corinthians were thinking. We love the gift of tongues because it's exotic, it's emotional. Man, it gives me a high. I'm released to the gods. I speak the language of the gods. It's awesome. But that's a little bit what's happening. So Paul says, no, use the gift of prophecy, the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word. That's what the gift you ought to pursue. And again, so many churches today have stopped preaching. You know what I'm so thankful for of this church? And I hope you always stay this way, but the most important thing that happened today, you know what it was? It was the preaching. Oh, I enjoy the music and I appreciate the gifts and talents. I love singing the songs, but I really don't love singing the songs as much as I love watching those words and the message it gives. I love hearing our deacons pray and give a testimony. I love the fellowship that comes. But you know what? This church, why I love it so much? I could, honestly, you won't want it, but I could preach for 2 hours. And you know what? Most of you would sit here. Because that's the most important thing. But churches have gone away from that today. You know, and again, I'm not against drama and skits and long music programs and putting that. I'm not against good music, but that's what's become the focus in churches today. And then they throw on a message at the end, a 5 or 10 minute message. In Warren, it was so funny. They guaranteed the sign on the church, guaranteed 15 minute messages and you're out. Guaranteed. Well, I'd be stupid to make a guarantee like that. I'd be in serious trouble. Guaranteed, 15 minutes, and you're done. Guaranteed, and it had guaranteed in three different spots. Drove by it every day. Because that's what their emphasis was. That's what the Corinthian emphasis was. And that's why Paul was concerned. He said, the key has to be the Word of God. The key has to be preaching. The key has to be teaching the Word of God, presenting the good news of Jesus Christ. That's got to be the central focus of our churches today. Now, I think music can add to a program. And if I were good enough, I'd do a skit up here. But if that becomes what the focus is, what's drawing people in, and that's what they want, and you know what? I want that time to preach, folks. That's why you hear Pastor Josh say sometimes, Pastor's going to kill me. We're singing all three of the verses. Now, I love it, and I'm not against that. But I want to get in at a certain time so I can get my time. Because you know what? That's what Paul says. He says, you want the tongues, you want the healing, you want the miracles, you want all those showy gifts. But you're abusing them. You know what you should want? It's the gift of prophecy. Hearing the scriptures, understanding the scriptures, giving out the scriptures, watching the scriptures work in the hearts and life of God's people. That's what Paul said. That's why he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now he talks about prophets toward the end, and there's a complicated passage in there that women aren't to speak in the church. I'm going to show you what I believe Paul was saying in that passage. So when I looked at the whole passage, I've read it over and over hundreds of times. Is it all for you today? No. But there's some pretty good principles in there if you grasp hold of them. And you know what? I don't know what your gift is. But you know what? We all ought to pursue, if we're going to pursue any gift, the gift of prophecy. But this week, I'm going to share the good news with somebody. This week, I'm going to tell somebody what I learned in Scripture. This week, I learned something new, and you can't wait till you get to say, you know what, when I see Michigan do something good on the football field, now, if you watch the basketball team, they're not much to talk about. But they did have a good football season. I can share that with anybody. But what happens here in this church, in my life, is far greater than what happened on the football field. Paul says that's what you need to share. The gift of prophecy. Not tongues. Not miracles. But prophecy. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Chapter 14. It's unique. It's probably not for all of you, because you don't have a problem with tongues. You probably have never even, I bet you some of you have never even heard a message about tongues before. Because it doesn't affect you. But you can see the principles that Paul puts in. And it can change your life. Let it change your life. I want every eye bowed and every eye closed. My time is gone. What a wonderful truth. I don't think there's too many people in this church that are pursuing the gift of tongues. Number one, it's ceased. And number two, it's not for this day and age. And number three, it was all counterfeit in Corinth. So Paul would speak a little different message, and it would probably be some of you pursue some gifts. But what about the gift of prophecy? What about the gift of sharing the good news, about sharing the truth from God's word? That's what Paul's trying to say. That should be important. And we should follow it after love. So I ask you this question, not to raise your hand, but is that your desire, the gift of prophecy?